We are here, me and Mike Howell, we're back, it's the new noise,
here we are.
It's exciting, and we had a big week last week.
We did. Not only did we announce a lot of music, we had our Locals Only show, which was a lot of fun.
That's right, yeah, hopefully some of the people tuned in on Twitch for that, and it was a really good time, and we had 12 awesome bands.
Oh,
I didn't do a ton of vetting. Like, I pretty much just put it up and said, hey, like, if you're in a local band, you know, because I want to give everyone a chance. Mm-hmm. And every band was awesome.
Oh, yeah. It was a great time. Like, so many new favorite bands that I've spun this week. Like, Sorry Sweetheart.
Oh, yeah.
Wild Truth and House and Home for me. Like,
yeah.
I've been spinning those guys nonstop in between era listens, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And... like, what was that crazy heavy band? It was super good. Well, there were two really good heavy bands.
Salem Trials,
yes.
And My Own Will.
Yes.
Both amazing.
Both bands. Amazing if you like the heavy side of things. Really good stuff, and I encourage everybody. I'm going to leave that Locals Only one up on Twitch.
Hell yeah.
Just for more exposure for those bands. So that one will stay up for people to check out.
So go check it out.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
So it's there. Mike, elephant in the room... once again,
yep,
it's rearing its not so ugly head. Let's talk about your number one pick from last week and the new album, the new self-titled album from Era.
All right, this is the best self-titled album that's ever been released.
Okay, so it didn't disappoint.
No, I absolutely love this record. I think it encapsulates everything that Era has ever really done as a band. There's notes to kind of all of their albums within it. And it is just so beautifully written, and every song has its own identity, but it flows together so well. But I mean, I kind of knew I was going to love this record, and I think almost everybody knew I was going to love it just because of who I am as a person. What did you think of it?
I really liked it. I think my favorite song is still House of Glass, however. Mm-hmm. I think there is... I don't know. Here's how I feel about this band. I think they are... really, really, really good at what they do. I think that they are nearing the, like, perfecting the genre. Like, this is a near perfect metalcore record. I think the only thing that I can say is that I've heard most of this before. You know, like, this band isn't reinventing the wheel. And I'm not saying every release has to reinvent the wheel. And I did like a lot of the points of this record where they did do some different things. Shadow Autonomous a little bit, and the last track, Memory Fiction, I thought that was
great.
Really, really cool. So I think the record is great. I don't know. Like, I think the bar was really high already, and I mean, they got there.
100%.
But, like, I don't know what I was expecting. I think I liked House of Glass so much, and then I still think that that's still my favorite song probably on the record.
Mm-hmm. And I was kind of a little bit different. I think, what was my favorite single? I think, like, Divisionary was my favorite single.
Yeah.
But then, like, coming into this record, I thought the back half was a lot stronger. I mean, obviously, the front has Gungrave, which is just insanely heavy. But, like, on the back half with Electric Twilight and Lunar Halo and Vanish Canvas, like, the songs that kind of got a little bit slower and almost, like, spooky, eerie to a degree... I think we're just incredible in a different look for the band that kind of evolved their sound from Neon in a really good way.
Yeah, no, and this band has the kind of the perfect mix of, you know, catchiness and technicality, you know, like the nerdiness. And but what they've really brought, I think, home on this album is the songwriting especially 100%. Some of the melodies and you know, that side of things, I think are really shine on this album. So yeah, shout out to the whoever, you know, if it was the clean singer or whoever wrote those parts, because some of them mm-hmm. are really good, and I think they're some of my favorite parts of the album.
Oh, 100% agree. And I think that's always kind of my favorite parts of an era record too, is like, yeah, they always kind of shine through in the heavy moments, and you're going to have fun moshing and stuff like that. But like when you're able to belt out a chorus to something heavy like that, it's always very impressive to me. And I know you said you were talking about like the good mix of what everything's going on. The mix on this album is probably one of the best I've heard in years as well.
You know what's what's crazy about that, Mike? I listened mm-hmm. to this album and I really thought about it. You know what I mean? Like I mm-hmm. critically listened to this album every second of it, and not once did I think about the production.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing. Right? Mm-hmm. I think that means if I'm not thinking about the production, I'm just enjoying the music for the substance of it. I'm not thinking about like, oh, that was cool, like a cool effect or oh, because a lot of times I'll listen to a record and I'll be like, I wish that vocal was louder, or I wish this like
yeah.
snare was louder in this song or whatever. And I never even thought about it. So I think you're absolutely right about that.
Subtly perfect mix. And yeah. probably like my third time listening through is the time that I started like, all right, this listen through, I'm going to just listen to the drums. Or I'm just going to listen to the guitar. I forget which one I picked out first. And whenever I wanted to find a specific instrument in the mix, I could.
Yeah.
Which is something that's really hard, because a lot yep. of bands kind of lean towards burying the bass and things like yep. that now. But anytime, as long as I was listening on like my nicer headphones, I can pick out the bass specifically, the drums, obviously, and guitar work is just very well done, and I don't think anything extra was done, and nothing was really left on the table either. Yeah, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I was surprised about, and I'm really searching hard for any criticism. Mm-hmm. I was surprised that they started the record with Snowblood. You know, it being like one of the maybe the first single they put out for this yeah, record.
It was the first one,
and like a song that like I don't know, I like put on the record, and I was like, oh okay, like this song's fine. You know, mm-hmm. it wasn't like, it didn't get me energized. And then when we got to the end of the record and there was a remnant, like, I was like, that could have been the fucking opener. Like, yeah. you know, that's, and it's a pretty long record too.
52 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, a pretty long record. That's about the only criticism I have. Records are getting longer mm-hmm. these days. That's just what it is. But it's a great record.
Oh, yeah. And do you think you would have felt differently about Snowblood being the opener if it wasn't a single?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I would have
been better opener.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know though. I think sometimes track ones can be weird. I don't know mm-hmm. if like I missed something with that. Like just, I have just weird taste, but I think that was probably my least favorite of all the singles.
Yeah.
And then it was track one and I was like, wow. Like not to say I'm going to skip the song when I put the record mm-hmm. on, but when I know what's to come, sometimes it puts me in a bit of a different mood. Yeah. Starting up the record, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, I feel you there, because you kind of come in and you're like, okay, yeah, I've heard this one already. And it kind of like, you've heard it so much, it's already kind of set your expectations for how the rest of the record is going to go. Which I think kind of lent into it in a really good way, because then you get to the non-single tracks, and I think some of them were better than any of the singles too.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
for sure.
And I think Snowblood is going to be a great opener for like a live show too. Because that like little techno bit straight into the heavy, that's just going to go crazy.
Yeah, I have no doubt. I have no doubt. And we talked in so much depth about this band being mm-hmm. kind of underrated, you know, having definitely not reached their potential. And this is the record. It's going to do it. Here it comes.
I've watched the Spotify over the weekend. And they went from about 300,000 monthly listeners to almost 600,000 just
really?
With this new album release already.
Wow. That's awesome. Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. Well deserved. And they got a great team behind them at UNFD as well. So.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
You want to talk about some other records from last week?
Yeah. Go ahead.
So did you get a chance to listen to the Rivals album?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was great. I'll be honest. I put it on and then I like left the room for a little bit and I came back. So I didn't give it as thorough a listen as I did the Eras record.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it's a great record. I think it gave me what I wanted out of this.
Agreed.
And I think I kind of knew already what to expect because I'd heard there had been so many singles released.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a great record. And I think it's another band people are going to pay attention to now.
I agree. I think the record was good as well. I didn't like how a lot of the singles were right up front, which a lot of bands kind of do that. But I almost felt like I kind of lost interest a little bit starting the record, and I had to kind of get myself and keep myself into it by the time the new songs started coming on.
That's because you're a super fan.
Oh, yeah. But like once I started getting into kind of the end of the record, like the song Change Things and On the Loose and then To Dom were just incredible. And I think the songwriting kind of here, it's definitely way different than Era, wherein they're like really trying to make one part of the band shine. And I think that's Kaylee and her voice.
Yep.
And the lyricism and the rest of the songwriting just really leans into that in a way that I like when bands can understand and do that. And Kaylee definitely carries this record.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think she's an incredible singer. And I think that is the magic of this band. I mean, not to say they aren't a great band anyway, but that to me, when you first played me this band, Mike, I was like, oh yeah, these vocals are what sets this apart and makes this band really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And then did you get a chance to listen to the new Landmarks album?
I did not.
Unfortunate.
I know. And I really like this band and I'm going to make sure that I do listen to it this week.
Good stuff.
They're French. What do you want? They're from France. That's so cool.
So, spoilers then. I'm going to talk about this record.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it. I didn't like it as much the first time I listened to it.
Oh, okay. So it's a grower.
I think so. And I don't know if that was just because I had just listened to Era right before it for the first time. And I was still a little bit starstruck. And I was like, all right, it's Friday. I got to get through all these releases. And yep, Ninja Circ, Landmarks, your favorite release of the week. I can definitely see that being a favorite release for some people who don't like as produced metal as Era and things like that. This record was definitely a little bit more raw. And once I kind of let Era mellow out a little bit and I really got into this record, I really liked that aspect of it. The first listen through, I felt like there was something kind of missing, and maybe just because my ears were tuned to that. But once I gave like a little bit of a break before going into it, I really like this record, and I think there's a lot of fun things going on with it. I forget the song, but the portion where there's like the French rap, like I have no idea what's going
really?
On.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's really cool, but I have no idea what's going on, but it still sounds great. And I think there's so many good songs on this record as well. I can't remember the names of them, but like it's really good. I don't like how the singles, though, they put two singles at the front and two singles at the end. So like there's just this middle portion. And then I get to like the last two tracks and I'm like, oh, I already know what's going on. Okay. They fit the record well, but just a little bit different. But overall, I think it's a really good album. And I wouldn't be surprised seeing this in some people's top tens at the end of the year as well.
Cool. Yeah, people seem to be loving it in the chat. So there we go, Landmarks. All right, are we ready for this week?
I think so. I don't really have any thing else I want to talk about from last week.
All right, well, let's get into all the great records coming out this week. The top five list, kick it off for me with number five.
All right, so number five. I am not sure if this is an album or an EP. It's like 7-8 songs, so it's kind of in the middle ground there, right? But it's a small band from Chicago called Origami Button with their new album, No Parking.
Yeah.
And have you heard of this band?
I have, yes. And
cool.
I find this band incredibly difficult to categorize.
I agree. I think it's...
Yeah, really tough.
They really fit in that kind of like post-hardcore genre where there's almost like a funk or jazz flair to it. I want to describe them as being like a Marionette or Coletta, or if you're a big fan of like Andres and Strawberry Girl, stuff like that,
yeah.
I think that this would really kind of be in your wheelhouse.
Totally.
They've got a sweet aesthetic too, I think.
I don't really know anything about the aesthetic, but they sound to me, they've got that Swancore thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like very technical, you know, like some people would call it math rock.
Yeah.
But then they have the R&B elements, like mm-hmm. almost like they're almost like Issues, if you took like the djenty parts out of Issues
and filled them with just more math.
Yeah they like because Issues is pretty technical, mm-hmm. but it's a little more mature than Issues, if that makes any sense, like subject matter and lyrically, I think. But that's maybe a good place to start. They're like a less heavy Issues, but I really like this band. I think that they are, they are, yes, we know, yeah. But they are, they're really good. And I think if people are looking for something really just to put on, like, I think your mom would mm-hmm. like this in the car.
Oh yeah.
You know, like it doesn't have, it's accessible at the same time as being technical, which is not easy to mm-hmm. do.
It's almost like, I would almost say it's a post-hardcore Sinatra, where it's like something that you can put on in the background for a dinner party. And like, as long as your friends are kind of into the scene, they'd be like, wow, this is really vibey, just background music. And
yep.
I don't know. I think it's really good. And I can't, everything is really good this week. And I can't wait to listen to this EP album from Origami Button.
Absolutely, Mike. Yeah, it's definitely going to be a great record. I'm excited about. Moving on to number four.
Number four, complete opposite endrum of our
end of our spectrum.
Complete opposite end of our scene's spectrum.
Hmm.
We've got the new album Pale Home by The Drowned God.
Yeah.
These guys are out of Philadelphia. And they are this kind of thing that's really coming to the forefront of what I like listening to, where it's kind of like this black metal meets post-hardcore vibe.
Yes. That's a great way to describe it. It was another band that, like, when I listen to them, I'm not really sure mm-hmm. where to kind of, like, classify it, because it's kind of like black metal without the technical aspects. Like, it's a little mm-hmm. more simple. It's kind of got a lot more vibe to it than some black metal does, in a different way. Calling it post-hardcore black metal sort of makes sense too. Mm-hmm. I really, really like this this band though. I'm excited for this one as well.
Yeah, I think if you've been a fan of the show for a while, you know that we like bands like Respire and Svalbard. If you like those kind of bands, I think this is a little bit more easy listening than those. Or if those bands were too scary, maybe you should check these ones out. But
yeah,
honestly, I'm really excited for this record.
No, for sure. And it's like the songs are, I mean, from the what I've heard, you know, the songs are a little bit shorter,
mm-hmm.
A little more to the point. You know, you don't have these like long, drawn out parts as much.
Yeah, there's not as much metaphor to the verses and things like that. It's very more tongue-in-cheek, I think.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, they're probably huge fans of Converge. Like, there's definitely a Converge influence. I wouldn't say they sound that much like Converge.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like that, if you like black metal and Converge, you'll probably like this.
Oh, agreed. And honestly, this is their third studio album, which I was kind of surprised by when I looked into them. They sounded kind of like a newer band because it's mm-hmm. kind of this fresh sound.
Mm-hmm.
I still need to go back and listen to the rest of their discography because this is a newer band for me. But I really hope this band blows up with this release, because every single that I've heard so far is an absolute banger.
100%. All right.
Cool. You want to move on to number three?
I think I'm ready to.
Number three. If my sheet will load, because I forget things off the top of my head. Number three, we've got one of this show's favorite bands, and unfortunately only number three this week, coming out of Atlanta. We've got 68 with their new album, Give One, Take One.
Yes, 68. I feel like we just talked about them, because the EP was released in the last 6 months.
Not even that. Was it 6 months?
Close to 6 months ago, probably. If for people that don't know, 68 is a two-piece group featuring Josh Scogan, formerly of The Chariot, frontman of The Chariot, now playing guitar, and really just a very experimental group that has really changed styles over their relatively short career.
While still somehow staying noise rock.
Like, yeah, yeah. You still kind of, you still know it's them, but this, like the latest few singles have been like really like, whoa, what, like anything's possible with these guys.
It's gone from kind of a almost chaotic feeling to a, it's still the same sound and genre, but all of the songs just feel more refined and I guess maybe better written. Overall, this album's going to be absolutely crazy, though. I think every time 68 puts out a release, it's phenomenal. And I don't really know how to talk about 68 very well.
It's hard. It's hard to. Well,
they're just weird.
Well, they had their EP, Love Is Ain't Dead.
Yep.
And I really liked it. It was sort of like put out in a weird, like, this is a transitional thing. Kind of.
Yeah,
because
they recorded it after they recorded this album.
Yeah, it's so, kind of weird. It was like they didn't want to commit to putting out an album during the pandemic, maybe.
Which they said that. But now
they said that. And now they're like, well, what are we going to do? Just sit on this record? Like, if it's a year old, we're just going to, what are we going to do? Wait another year until we can tour again to put this out? So that's probably the decision. I'm sort of guessing. Don't quote me on that one, but this is going to be a really exciting record. I think they probably have saved, you know, the better songs.
Oh, yeah. I would 100% say so.
Yeah, and the singles have been great. And, yeah, just I feel like they've just found a new catchiness, which I noticed in the EP that maybe wasn't there at the beginning of their career. And, you know, it's really interesting to hear Josh singing. Obviously, he's still burying his voice in all kinds of noise and compression and overdrive and stuff, but like you can hear him singing pretty tunefully, which isn't something that you got in The Chariot.
No, 100% not. And I'm really interested to see how this new sound kind of transitions live too, because for me, 68, and this is partially why it's hard for me to describe, they've always been more of a live band than a record band. Like, I'll listen to the album once or twice and then maybe go back to it if I'm feeling the itch. But any chance I get to see 68 live, I go see them just because it's a totally different experience. Josh Scogan's probably one of the best, if not most energetic frontmen out there ever.
Well, they're, I mean, The Chariot, and I could talk about The Chariot all show long, because they're pretty much I can just say they are my favorite live band of all time. And they were a band when we went on tour with them, it was like, you don't miss The Chariot. Everyone watches The Chariot because it's a show. You never know what's going to happen on any given night. And that has definitely bled into 68, and it's the same thing. And yeah, the same thing. I'm not 68's in town. Yeah, you can. I'm dropping my plans. I'm going to the show. Yeah.
They're always on weird tours now, too. I've noticed that. Like, I saw 68 play with Fit for a King and Devil Wears Prada, which was kind of strange. But, I mean, it always works because, like, it's always bands that they have, like, roots in the scene with, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's still, I mean, they are still on those kinds of tours. I could see them branching out even more with this, maybe with this new
100%.
Stuff. But I also want to comment on, you know, you saying, well, they're a live band, so it's hard. I feel like this record could be the record that maybe they drop that, I don't want to say stigma, because it's not a stigma at all. There's nothing better than being the band everyone wants to go see live, but not only being the band everyone wants to go see live, they're also the, you know,
the go-to the band record player.
Just exactly. And and someone else is bringing up Let Live, who, you know, a lot of people will say were their favorite.
Very similar energy.
Right, exactly. And I remember at Warped Tour 2013, Let Live and The Chariot were both on the same stage on Warped Tour as Silverstein. That year was fucked. It was us, The Chariot, Let Live, Architects, Amity Affliction.
That's one of those years you can just camp at the Monster stage.
I See Stars was on too year.
Was that the year Breathe Carolina was on the tour too?
I don't believe they were. I don't think we were ever on the same.
All the Warped Tours like meld together now.
That was a hell of a year for Warped Tour, and watching, like, there were days when, you know, The Chariot and Let Live would go back to back, and I swear, like, on those days they both went a little bit harder.
Oh yeah, because it's kind of a, like, competition then, because you're going on next, so you're gonna watch the guys before you and, like, help get amped up, I assume, and then like you see whatever they do and you're like, we gotta one up that shit.
It wasn't. I really don't think it was. I don't think that wording is right. Like, I don't think there was ever a competition. I don't think there was ever an idea of one-upping. I think it was like just literally mentality. You watch and you're like, I'm pumped, let's go. And then I'm next thing I know, I'm on stage, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great. And yeah, Bring Me was on that year too. 2013, they were also there. So yeah, it was a hell of a year.
All right. You ready to move on to number two?
I am number two.
So number two, I cheated this week. New album from Stepson. It's called Help Me Help You. This is a band from Brisbane, Australia. I got a little bit lucky and she showed up today.
Oh, whew.
So I've listened to this album.
Nice. Okay.
Might have moved up in the rankings because I listened to it today.
That's great.
But this band is absolutely incredible. I don't know how to describe them because they're kind of a jack of all trades as far as genre goes.
They are.
Metalcore, post-hardcore, punk, pop punk. They kind of have a little bit of everything. There's a fully acoustic song on this record. The songwriting is absolutely incredible as well. They're just very emotionally intense, kind of like Architects or a Holding Absence. Even old throwback like a Casey. Overall, I just think that this is a band that's just gonna kind of come out of nowhere and blow a lot of people away this week.
I 100% agree. I didn't know this band was from Australia, actually. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. The first thing that struck me when I heard this band is listening to the vocalist actually makes my throat hurt. He sounds like he is screaming so hard. I am just like, man, this sounds like he's in pain. In a good way. Like, so intense.
All the emotion that he's just got like bottled up on each track in these recordings is just flat out the entire time.
Absolutely.
And
go ahead, Mike.
That changes a bit because there are some like lighter songs in the back half of the album, I will say. But that front half is just blistering.
Yeah. Well, I haven't heard the record yet, but the, you know, the singles and some of the other songs, they have that some of them, are softer. They have one that like the vocals almost sounds like a Wilhelm scream or Strike Anywhere. The vocals
are you thinking of the Deeper Sleep? One with the kind of almost like, I want to say like British alternative guitar riff sounding.
I think so. Yeah, I think it is that
where
one.
Where it's like do 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 do.
Yeah,
like something like that.
It's really weird. I was not expecting that song at all. Mm-hmm. And then, but a lot of this stuff, like I was trying to like describe it. And it sounds like this could have come out in 2005 on Tooth and Nail Records.
I agree with
that.
100%.
Because there is that like punk element that did exist in that time frame. Because we still like the 90s weren't that far away. Like people were still seeing that in the rearview mirror and it was influencing them. But then like you hear definitely influences, like you can hear Under Oath as an influence for sure. Emery, like there's really Emery vibes on a few of these songs too. I can't wait to hear this record. I really, really like this band. This is one of the best new bands I've heard in a while. I don't know how new they are, mm-hmm. but at least that I've heard. I guess they've been a band for a while, but...
And I mean, like some of the vibes on some of the songs that haven't been released yet too, almost really remind me of like While She Sleeps, which is really fun because I think that's another band that's absolutely incredible and good to emulate. Overall, I think this is an amazing record. I don't think it's going to be. I know it now.
Yeah.
But I think, honestly, right now, Sharptone Records can't miss.
I know you love them.
It's insane. They've got this. They've got Holding Absence next month. It's going to be good.
It's going to be good. Sweet. Damn, Mike, we're on a roll here, man. We are
fire.
We're going fast through this again. So we're going to get into the number one record after this. We're back. That was our commercial break, and we're going to get into the number one album of the week.
Number one album of the week. We're going to get real weird. This is 100% Turn the Lights Down Low, Get in the Bathtub, and just vibe.
This is the best I can do. Is that better?
Ooh, that's pretty low. I can't turn my lights down in here. But we've got the new album, Dream Weapon by Genghis Tron.
Yes.
This is right up my alley. It is weird.
Yeah.
And that's about it. That's how to describe it.
It's really hard okay. So a little background on Genghis Tron. They've been a band a long time, like 20 years or something like that. This
first
is their
first album in like 10, 12 years, I think.
Actually says, it's been 13 years since their first album, which I believe is the one I own. I haven't listened to it a long time. Like, it's just with all my other CDs. And yeah, like, this band used to be, I don't know, like a metal band, I guess. Yep. And now they kind of sound like the Smashing Pumpkins on steroids.
But there's still metal in it too, which is weird.
But like, not really though. Like, the drums are kind of metal-y, but like, it's really tough to describe this. Like, it's very dream pop, like Sonic Youth, but not as noisy. That's why I said it reminds me of old Smashing Pumpkins, but like, if you sped it up a lot, and like took out some annoying nasal vocals. I don't know how to describe this band. They've made a radical change from their old stuff. I know you're really excited about it. I don't know if I'm going to put on this record and love it or put on this record and like fall asleep. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I think it's going to be really vibey, which is, I think, good. I think the writing is going to be really well done and it's going to flow really well. I'm interested to see if it turns out that there's like a concept behind the album or something like that as I kind of listen to it.
Yeah.
But I think this album is just so weird that it has to be my number one, because I'm either going to come back next week and I'm going to be like, oh yeah, it was okay. Or I'm going to come back and I'm going to be like, this is album of the year contender right up there or there. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know this. I'm reading that they have a new vocalist.
So that might explain the sound change quite a bit.
Yeah, that's going to do something. So yeah, that could be it too. It's interesting, right? When a band goes away for 13 years. 13 years since their last album is what I'm seeing. It's been 15 years since their first album. So when a band goes away that long and then comes back with a new singer and completely changes their style of music, isn't it a little bit like, why don't you just start a new band?
I think so, but I think this is still going to be a close enough project that it's kind of almost a modernization or evolution of what it was, right? And I mean, if you've got, I don't know how many guys are in the band. I'm assuming four. Let's say four. That's a good number. And you replace one of them, you're still kind of, for the most part, the original band. So, I don't know. I think as long as the thematically and the vibes are the same, I think you're good to go on keeping the band name.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is coming out on Relapse, so you know, like the metal label,
I think there's some stuff on this record that they're probably hiding from us too, with the singles, because I mean, we've got one single that's like 10 minutes of shoegaze.
Yeah.
And we've got one single that's a bit faster and it's got some electronic elements. And we've got one single that's a bit faster and it's got some guitar. And I think that there's going to be some heavier songs on this record as well.
I don't know. I see.
Oh yeah, 100% being, just guessing.
I see there no evidence to support that. I'm not trying to disagree with you, but I see no evidence to support there being really any like heaviness or metal in this, like that kind of metal in this record. I could be wrong. If there is, I welcome it because that's the Genghis Tron that I know. But it seems to me like we're gonna get Siamese Dream on steroids, which is what I hear when I hear these singles so far.
Even then, I'm okay with it. I think it's going to be really well done. So
yeah, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's when a band goes through a radical change like this. Like this might not be quite as like 100th level change, but pretty close.
Yeah, and I mean 100th was a little bit more drawn out too. At least we kind of like saw that one rolling. This one is pretty immediate. Not really immediate, like you just haven't seen what's going on behind the scenes too. Like these guys could have had other projects where they're changing the sound up and things.
Oh for sure, when you have this much time goes by, I mean you could say, you know, that they would they could honestly just start with this band, and if they put out records for the last 13 years, this is where they could just have ended up anyway. But who really ever knows, you know?
Who knows? It's going to be fun. We're going to listen to it and we're going to talk about it next week. I'm sure of
that. 100% we will. And it's, I mean, it isn't quite like a change like 100th or Ceremony or anything, but it's, we'll see. We'll see. And I would like to agree with Jay on the Twitch chat saying the 100th change is underrated.
100%.
I 100% agree. I like 100th more now than I ever have. So,
yep. I think they're a phenomenal band and a bunch of people are sleeping on them because, oh no, it's not heavy anymore. It's still emo. It's still really deep in the feels and it's still really good songwriting.
Yep.
Go check it out.
Exactly. And there's plenty of other melodic hardcore bands you can still listen to. So don't get too pumped.
Exactly.
Down. All right. Well, there is our top five.
Do a quick recap for the people?
I would love to do a recap. So let's start with number five.
So number five, we've got the new album EP thing from Origami Button called No Parking.
Yes, and just to describe this band again, hard to describe, mathcore R&B, kind of like issues,
fun time,
but
good
if
vibes.
You took out the immaturity and the gentiness.
Hell yeah.
Number four.
Number four, we've got the new album Pale Home by the Drowned God.
Very heavy.
Very
not
heavy.
Not that scary, but very heavy and more accessible than your average black metal band.
I'd agree with that.
Okay.
Number three, we've got the new album Give One, Take One from 68.
Yes. Former singer of The Chariot, goes very artsy, very noisy, but could be bringing in more elements of melody to this album, which we both welcome.
100%. Number two, we've got the new album Help Me Help You by Stepson.
Help me help you. Help me help you. Is that Jerry Maguire? Jerry Maguire.
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, I always, you know me in the movie quotes, especially from the 90s. I know them all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this band is also a bit hard to define because they're all over the place. Everything from, you know, post-hardcore to punk. Really good vocalist. And I said, sounds like something that you might hear in 2005 coming out on Tooth & Nail Records from Australia.
Help me help you listen to a new favorite band. Yes. Boom, boom.
I like it. And the number one album of the week is
the new album Dream Weapon by Genghis Tron. Also hard to describe. Hard to describe week.
It honestly is. This one is the weirdest. I think former metal band goes shoegazy dream pop. We'll see. We don't know yet. We don't know about this one yet, but it'll be interesting for sure.
Oh, 100%.
All right.
You ready to talk about some honorable mentions for the week?
Yes, please.
All right. So some honorable mentions for the week. First off, we've got to talk about it. They're kind of classic band in the scene. There's going to be a new album from Evanescence.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's funny because I forgot about that. And yesterday I played over Twitch a clip of when Evanescence played on the Billboard Music Awards. And so it starts off with Amy Lee on the piano. And like, she's fucking good, man.
Oh, yeah.
She's really, really good at singing. So she's playing this like really like all the feels, you know, piano ballad. There's an orchestra playing with her. And then like 3/4 of the way through the song, you know, the whole band comes in and the bass is completely out of tune, like hitting the wrong note. Like it's a train wreck. And she's just like the faces she's making, she's shaking her head. And it was like just a classic fail that everyone should go check out if they like to, you know, watch that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean,
it was not the orchestra. It was not the orchestra. It was her old band for sure. Her own band for sure, because it was when the band came in that it was that it got all fucked up. But yes, it is an incredible video. Yes, you should watch it, Mike. Anyway, new album for Evanescence. I'm surprised it didn't make the top five, I guess, but it's a big week.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much coming out. And honestly, I've never really been a huge Evanescence fan. I'm more inclined to check this out now, especially because of the Bring Me the Horizon EP with Amy Lee featuring on it. It had just never been something that I've checked out, but I've got a lot more respect for the band because of her now. So I'm gonna check it out and see how it goes.
Yeah, they're definitely the biggest thing to come out of Little Rock, Arkansas.
100%.
So there you go. Maybe next to Bill Clinton. That's about it.
Next, we've got a new album from kind of pop punk alternative band Citizen.
Yes.
Citizen's a great band. Unfortunately, we've only got 5 slots, so we couldn't talk about it. But I think that this band is getting a little bit angrier with this release and really kind of stepping into some uncharted territory that I think their friends who have found them through kind of mainstream success might find a little jarring. But I think that they're going to write a really good record.
Well, so this band, they've always been sort of like underground. And I feel like it's been by their own volition. Like they've wanted to be sort of like cool. You know, they do the cool tours, you know what I mean? Like they don't put themselves out there all that much. Like they're a little more mysterious. And I think, you know, with this record being self-produced, I feel like we might get a different turn from them this time. And I think that this could kind of put them, I'm not going to say mainstream, but I think a lot more like younger people and stuff are going to find out about this band and this record. I think I think it's going to push them into a little bit of a different place, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think it'll be good for them. Just 2 more albums real quick, and then we'll move into some singles. There's a new EP or album, I can't remember, from this local Detroit band called Examinate. They're super heavy and super good.
Cool. I don't know.
Or Exanimate is how you say their name. It's Exanimate. They're super cool.
Exanimate. Okay.
Yeah. I really like all the guys. And then there's a new band, a new release from Eternal Void. They're kind of a metalcore genty band that's a bit smaller as well that I really like. I have a single featuring Courtney from
Spearbox.
That's the band. And a couple other really good features on the record that I think people will enjoy. And they've overall got some pretty good songwriting. Let's see. And then some new singles. I got a couple of these. There's going to be a new single from Gojira.
Oh, yeah.
Always a fun band. We'll be talking about them in a couple of weeks here. I think the album drops in April.
Cool.
There is a new song from Above Below, which is an absolutely amazing metalcore band. I forget where they're from. I want to say Australia. I also just want to say all these weird, amazing metalcore bands are from Australia. It's kind of reflex.
they do have a lot. Something in the water down there.
Yeah. Metalcore band I do know is from Australia. Deadlights has put out a new single yesterday. It's absolutely incredible, and I suggest everybody go check that out and get ready for the record. They are a great band. My sheet is loading. Next up, we've got a new single from Monuments, Andy Sizek doing Double Duty. Last week with Termina, this week with Monuments.
Yeah, and actually, the Andy Sizek Lead Singer Syndrome episode will be up tonight. So
nice.
So yeah, so right on cue. And that guy, just what a monster. The guy can do everything with his voice. He's incredible.
Really,
so I'll be excited for this, because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, haven't they only put out one song?
Only one with him, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean, with him, yeah. which is pretty wild.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's such a busy guy. He's got to be, right?
Yeah, he is. He is. I'm just surprised. Like, that's like kind of what he's known for now in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
But only one song they've put out together. So kind of crazy.
I'm going to start running through a little bit quicker. We've got a new Cannibal Corpse single. Always great.
Nice.
Can't wait for that album in a couple of weeks. I want to say that's April. I don't remember, though.
I'm not sure. I like the first single a lot.
Oh, yeah. Same. This one's just as brutal. There's a new single from August Burns Red called Icarus. It's got Clean singing on it, which is weird, but it's the bassist. So don't worry there. It's not Jake Lurs.
Well, yeah, we'll see what happens there, if that's something that they incorporate, because they were pretty against it.
I hope so.
They were against it for a long time, but I would like to see that side of them. I think that they could make, mm-hmm. Put a lot of interesting textures on the record. And I know Dustin can sing, because I've heard his pop punk project, which is awesome.
Yep.
So that's cool.
Next, we've got a new single from this really, really cool pop punk easycore project called Meet Me at Symbol the Altar. It's literally the at symbol. They're really cool.
Yep.
I absolutely love this band. They're signed to Fuel by Ramen. They're putting out nonstop bangers, and I can't wait for the album to be announced, hopefully pretty soon. Just really cool vibe all the way around with that. There's a new single from a band called Sarah Safe, SERA SAFE. They're super cool.
Uh-huh.
Metalcore. There is, let me see, I lost track of where it was. There's a new All Time Low single. Kind of a step backwards from the last album, if you ask me. The new
All Time Low single is out now.
Yeah, it came out today. I listened to it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's once in a lifetime.
Whenever they release like singles like this that are supposed to be standalones, they always try and go more poppy than they normally do on the record, and it just got a weird vibe for me.
I don't want to say anything bad about All Time Low, because I like them so much.
Amazing.
I think they're such good people and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a huge fan of the Monsters track, maybe just because I'm just tired of it. So yeah. I'm ready for a new thing. So well, please give me something else.
And then to kind of finish up, I've got a couple more. If you're interested in Lotus Eater, kind of trap metal, there's going to be a new single finally. Very excited for that. Love Lotus Eater. There is premiering tomorrow night on Sirius XM Octane, another new Beartooth single.
Oh!
Yeah.
Do you know what it's called?
I forget what it's called. I just saw it really quickly before I hopped on here, actually. But it's a new one. It's not Devastation or whatever. So,
which bangs,
go
by the
check
way.
That out.
Mike?
Really?
Mike, come on. That song is incredible.
It's better than anything off Disease, but it's still not disgusting.
Don't be disgusting, okay? Don't be a disgusting guy, all right? Disgusting is a great album, and it might be my favorite forever because it's the first one I heard, but I'm able to put it aside and just say, holy shit, like, Devastation is a banging track. And I'm excited to see what they're putting out next.
I will say it's really good instrumentally and really fun. Vocally, Caleb does a great job on it. And I don't know, it's just this thing with newer Beartooth that I really don't like the lyricism and just doesn't connect with me, because I know he's capable of writing stuff like Disgusting that just feels super from the heart, but I don't know what it is. Something's just off for it with me. But I still like the track, don't get me wrong.
We can agree to disagree on that one, Mike. I am all about the new Beartooth. I think it's the best stuff they've ever done. So,
all right,
Can't wait to see what's next.
Same here. I'm always interested. You know me. And last but not least, definitely not least, we've got an awesome new single from Russian/Australian band Galleons, featuring one of my all-time favorite vocalists.
Here it comes.
Garrett Rapp from The Color Maroon.
There it is. There it is. How does Garrett get hooked up with those guys? That's random.
I don't know. I think he probably has like a featured ex or something like that where people yeah, can do that.
But yeah, it could be.
Honestly, The Color Maroon is just one of my favorite bands of all time. And anytime I can hear new Garrett, or hopefully The Color Maroon very soon, I'm starving for it. I think he's such a talented vocalist, and I can't wait to hear this song.
Mike has his guys.
I do.
That's a guy. That's a Mike guy. Okay. Is
yeah,
that it?
That's kind of all the I list. Got this week.
All you got this week. What was that, 15 honorable mentions?
I don't know. We're probably going to get a lot more news tomorrow. Tomorrow. We're recording on Wednesday. So if you're listening to this, you probably got all the news, and you followed me on Instagram, @SlappySlam, so that you can see the full list of all releases. But if you're not following me on Instagram, you can go there and see the whole list. Or if you're watching on Twitch right now, you can just kind of assume that there's going to be a lot more on Friday, because there typically is. And I'm not a total mind reader. It does take me a little bit of time to get the list together and find all the news.
No, and we all appreciate the hard work that you do, Mike. Every single week, I don't know where we would be without you, to be honest. It's you know, we're coming to that point in the year now where I feel like it's just, it ain't going to slow down till December now. Like,
no.
The beginning of the year, you know, December, January, it's always slow, and it starts to pick up in February, but like now, records are just going to come out, especially when I think that the stuff that like has been planning on being released in the next couple months.
Bands are starting to announce tours again, and it's going to be like an absolute tidal wave of new records.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's going to hit hard.
Exactly. And all that stuff that got delayed or whatever, I think it's just going to come out now, because they probably planned to put it out in December when it was looking bleak, and now it's coming out, and we'll see. It's going to be crazy. And make sure you're here every Wednesday on Twitch, and Friday on the podcast, listening to all of Mike's picks.
Hell yeah. Is that it for the week? We good?
We did it.
We did it.
Is that it?
I think so.